Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
So to start off with, as there is an extensive fault system, is there a possibility for future earthquakes in the near future for New Zealand?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, we have a whole suite of really large active faults that rupture in big earthquakes every few hundred years, and they're spread throughout both islands of New Zealand. But in this area in particular, the northern South Island is just riddled with active faults that we've been studying for quite a long time and we know generate big earthquakes.
So on the South Island, just in the last week or so, we've seen, or since the earthquake did occur, we've seen the aftershocks following the recent earthquake, and they've caused a landslide actually on the South Island as well. In terms of the damage that this earthquake has caused, how bad is it compared to some of the others that New Zealand has seen in recent times?
Well, there's been a lot of landsliding from this one. There's been liquefaction, and it's a very complicated earthquake, so there's a whole bunch of ground ruptures on a suite of faults. It's quite complicated. But, you know, this is a quite sparsely populated part of New Zealand, so, you know, there's only probably about 3,000 people in the region that were really strongly affected by really strong earthquake shaking. So if we compare that to, for instance, the 2011 Christchurch earthquake, we had hundreds of thousands of people exposed to really, really strong shaking in that event. So, you know, there's not a lot of infrastructure in this area, but there are some small towns there, Kaikoura and some of the other coastal towns where there was quite significant damage, rock falls, houses being damaged and so on.
Now, the supermoon, of course, it was up last night, and there has been a little bit of a conspiracy theory running around saying that the earthquake did have something to do with the supermoon. Can you confirm or deny that one for us?
Well, it's a very challenging question for us to communicate about, because we know that things like the Earth tides exert an influence on the stresses in the lithosphere where earthquakes occur. But I think there's two things to remember. First off, the moon does not cause the earthquake. So this earthquake is entirely caused by plate tectonic motions between the Australian and the Pacific plates that build up stresses on active faults, and eventually they rupture. So the question is whether, you know, there could have been or could not have been some small influence, some very, very small influence of stresses related to the moon. Very, very challenging hypothesis to prove or disprove. And then the second most important point is that actually, you know, impending moons, full moons, new moons, whatever, don't really give us any predictive capacity. So we can't say anything meaningful to people like saying, you know, there's a full moon coming, so, you know, go away for the weekend because there's going to be a magnitude 7.8 earthquake underneath your house or your city. So I think the fixation is kind of this romantic view that we could have somehow predicted earthquakes because of the moon, and there's just no scientific justification for that claim.
So for the people who are over in New Zealand at the moment, for how much longer do we think that the aftershocks are going to be occurring for this earthquake?
Well, this is a big fault. So this fault's probably 200 kilometres long or something. It's complicated. It's slip on a whole bunch of smaller faults around the area. So we'll have weeks to months of felt aftershocks in that area. And, you know, the bigger the magnitude of the earthquake, the bigger the magnitude of the aftershocks typically. So for an earthquake of this magnitude, we might expect several magnitude 6 aftershocks. And then for each magnitude 6 aftershock, we'll get 10 magnitude 5 aftershocks. And they'll be felt with a decreasing frequency with time, but probably for weeks, if not months.
Now, prevention is always better than cure. In terms of preparation for future earthquakes, as we have mentioned, New Zealand is sitting on quite a large fault system. What might be the best way to go about preventing damage from any future earthquakes over in New Zealand?
Well, the main thing that we try to do is inform building codes. So we know that, for instance, strong earthquake retrofitted or earthquake design buildings perform better in earthquakes, and that saves lives. So we really try to understand hazard as best we can and implement that into engineering design practice for buildings. That's an obvious one. And then, of course, things like the monitoring of tsunamis, the monitoring of earthquakes and so on, well-planned evacuation procedures, making sure people have got supplies in their houses that in case of an earthquake are all very important means towards improving our resilience to earthquakes.
Well, Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Great. No, my pleasure. Thank you.